Hello everyone, my name is Zachary as always, and today I am reviewing the film Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. This movie released, if the first movie released in 1981, I'd say this movie either released in 1983, 1984, anyways, doesn't matter, let's get to the film. This movie is directed by Steven Spielberg. Harrison Ford was obviously Indiana Jones. Well, when it came out, everybody knew this was going to be big, regardless if people liked it, because this is a sequel to one of the biggest movies of the 80s, Indiana Jones. Now, this film, though it was financially successful with critics and fans, not so much. And when it's rated low by critics, that's one thing. But by fans, that's a whole nother ballpark, you know, that's a whole nother thing. Me, personally, I thought this movie was okay. I don't think it lives up to the original, but I still think it's good. So yeah, let's go over the movie. We start off in Shanghai, and it starts off with this nice musical number. I liked it. Then Indy comes on screen, and we see this waiter. It's like, who is this guy? So then we see Indy, kind of talking to these Shanghai Mafia guys. And now we need to remember that this is a prequel, so Indy isn't as morally sound, so to speak, as he is in this one, or as he was in any of the others. He wants a diamond, and he's willing to kill somebody to get it. That being Willie Scott, which we'll talk to her when she comes into play. So eventually, he gets poisoned. And then there's this whole thing where he's like punching girls. He's drugged out. He's sweating. His face is red. Balloons are falling from the sky. And he's like trying to get like this antidote. It's like so goofy. I don't know. But yeah, he just goes around trying to get this antidote. He's just punching people, crawling, running around in balloons. And eventually, one of these mafia men, they just start shooting at him, and he gets behind this, like, giant metal thing indented in that giant round thing was Paramount logo, which was nice. But anyways, so they escaped, and who did we meet after that? We met the man, the myth, the legend, Short Round, literally one of the best characters of this entire movie. And after they make their grand-ish escape, we really start to get a taste of how annoying Willie Scott is. She is the reason Indy and Short Round were almost killed, because she dropped their only form of self-defense out of the car because she broke a nail. Yeah. They eventually escape on a plane, but that plane is owned by the villains. But Indy doesn't know that. So then we get the infamous scene, not as infamous as the nuke scene, but an infamous scene of, can you guess? They jump out of the plane on a raft, and slide down the mountain into this huge river. And eventually this tribe finds them. And well, what do they do here? They figure, well, they're starving. But you know what Indy wants? He wants fortune and glory. Again, this is a prequel, so obviously we know he's more morally sound in the later films and Raiders and stuff like that. But and now when they go to Bangkok Palace, they are met with this people, and we eventually learn about this thing called the Thuggy Cult, and they worship this guy named Mullah Ram. And there's this nice sequence before we get to learn about this cult where it was supposed to be a romantic scene, but both of them were being stubborn. None of them really came on to each other at that point, so they were like, you know, you'll be back in 5 minutes. And then there's just this montage of each of them waiting in their individual rooms. Like, they're going to come to me. They're going to come over to my room. No, I'm going to come over to their room. It's like this back and forth in different rooms. It's this montage. Until Indy gets attacked. And it's a pretty interesting part. In fact, there was a fight scene. And the scene was so, and Harrison Ford did the stunt. And he threw out his back, I believe, doing it. He either threw out his back or he had some kind of injury when he was fighting in a fight scene because he had, like, pulled this big guy out from behind him and throw him forwards. And that, I guess that took a lot out of him. But anyways, so eventually they find out about this thuggy cult and they just worship Moloram. This is where a lot of people don't like this movie. Because somebody gets their heart ripped out, Indy slaps Short Round. He attacks Short Round because he got possessed by this cult. Steven Spielberg and George Lucas did try a lot of different things with this movie to see what stuck. I'm kind of glad that they reverted to more of what they did in the first film with the third one, but this was still interesting with what they tried to do. It wasn't all bad. Some of it was good. Short Round in this movie is amazing. He is the pinnacle. Short Round and Indy's relationship in this movie is the pinnacle of this movie. And they tried recreating that in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And even in Dial of Destiny. And it didn't work either of the times. Short Round is the goat, man. We needed him to return in Indy 5. But anyways, we're talking about the second one. So eventually, they all escape. And they get over to this bridge. And now he's threatening to cut down this bridge. And now for this scene, it was actually really interesting. What they did was, they built a real bridge that they made sure was stable, and they built it across these two mountains, and they put, like, a bunch of, like, mannequins on the bridge. And then they blew up the bridge, and they were like, we can only do this scene once. So they blew up the bridge, and good thing they did it once, because it was awesome. And obviously the mannequins fell. I just love how they did that scene, and nowadays if they did that scene, it would probably honestly be all CGI. That is just so cool. So freaking cool. Yeah. And then, eventually, Indy escapes. There's also this funny scene where he's chased down on the bridge. He, like, scares off a couple of the swordsmen. And then, like, a whole bunch start running at him. And a whole herd of them starts running at him. Funny, funny sequence. Later in the film, Willie and Indy make up. They, like, do stuff. And it's, like, cute. I don't know. Good thing she wasn't in any of the other movies. Now, no offense to the actor. And I get what they were going for there, because they wanted her to be annoying. And, well, oh boy, did they pull that one off. Oh, jeez. So, yeah, guys, I just wanted to talk about Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And my top five, I'm not going to lie, this is going to be my five. Anyways, if you enjoyed this video or any of my other content, please consider subscribing. And I'll see you in the next one. Goodbye. Hello, everyone. My name is Zachary, as always, and today I'm talking about Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. This is the third Indiana Jones movie. This was the last Indiana Jones movie, but this is the first movie that tried to end the Indiana Jones franchise. And yeah, a lot happens in this movie, so we have to talk about it. So the main dynamic and the thing that most people focus on is the relationship between Indiana Jones and his father. In fact, that's the main thing, because when Indiana Jones was first created, it was one of the main things is the relationship between Indiana Jones and Indy's dad. But one of the main inspirations for the Indy character was James Bond. If you don't know, Sean Connery played the first James Bond. So it's kind of funny to see the inspiration for Indiana Jones basically right beside Indiana Jones. And it kind of makes sense that Sean Connery would be playing the father to Indiana Jones, since in a way, he kind of was the father for Indiana Jones in real life, because James Bond was one of the inspirations for Indiana Jones. I thought that was cool. So a lot of things happened, and this movie had a lot of ideas that were actually scrapped from Raiders. For example, the castle. So at one point, Elsa and Indy go to the castle to rescue Indy's father, and there was actually an idea that was either for the first or the second Indy movie that said, basically, you know what, what if Indy was in a haunted castle? So now we're seeing one of those ideas brought to life, seeing a castle being featured in this, pretty prominently in this movie. And of course, Elsa betrays them, they're tied to a chair, and some hijinks ensues. One of the best parts of the movie is definitely this, for sure. So they eventually escape, they have a back and forth, it's a whole thing. And there's this funny part where Indy's dad thinks Elsa is talking to him, but she's not. And he's, like, really happy because, like, he really likes Elsa. So it's, like, a funny little thing. And eventually they escape. Now, well, all of Germany is looking for this guy. And Marcus Brody is in this, but I think while they tried to include him, they failed on a level. They had to change Marcus's character a lot so they could make him a main character. Because if he was like he was in, say, Raiders, kind of serious, a little bit worried. He wouldn't have been very good in this movie, but Marcus Brody is fantastic in this film. Marcus's character had to change a lot for the more goofy persona for this movie and being able to be a main character in this goofy adventure, which I think ended up working really well for the shift they wanted to go for. So eventually, they have to go on a blimp, which happens to be the Hindenburg, if you didn't know. Yeah. So I think this is where it really shows how dated the green screen and the CGI was, because eventually they realize, wait, this Zeppelin, the Hindenburg, it's flying back to Germany, and they don't want to go to Germany, so it's just a round trip. So they're like, we have to escape on a plane. And this is where you can tell just how dated the CGI was and the green screen was for this movie, because there's some really, really bad shots, but it doesn't matter, because this scene is just genuinely, like, funny in this, like, a good sequence. Like, alright, so they're on a plane, and I feel like they only had this whole sequence just to show Henry Sr. just how funny he can be. Just show Andy style how goofy he can be, and how he doesn't really know how to do this stuff. So, like, he accidentally shoots, like, he accidentally damages the plane while trying to shoot up the things. When Indy asks what happened, he said, they got us, even though he's literally the one that damaged the plane. And it's just hilarious. I absolutely love their bonding. Sean Connery and Harrison Ford had such a good connection in this movie. It is beyond words, really. Even though I described it in words. So is it really beyond words? I don't know, you tell me. So about the ending, there is a little bit of a tank sequence. And it's actually, I think it's pretty cool they did this, because they had some shots where they had to use a bigger one. But for most of the shots, they built a miniature tank. For some of the shots, like this, for example, they just use a small little thing. So it's really cool. But on other shots, obviously, it had to be real for scenes like this or scenes when they were inside of the tank. Some goofy hijinks ensued. It's really nothing special, but it is a nice little fight. Indy's on a horse. Some things happen, bang, bang, and then the tank eventually falls into a giant canyon, and Indy's dad thinks that Indy died. So he's distraught because they didn't have a very good relationship, so he is sad that he didn't really get to tell his son anything, so he's sad and everything. And then Indy just comes up from this canyon and is like so confused to what they're looking at, because he doesn't know that they think he's dead, so he just looks over and he's like, yeah, oh yeah. They don't even say anything, but it's, like, super funny. This movie has a really good handle on comedy. They eventually find where the Grail is. And the soundtrack for this sequence is beautiful. And it really makes you feel the gravity of this situation, which is really nice. John Williams obviously composed it and did it amazingly, I must say. He gets the right one. The villain gets the wrong one. Boom, bada, bang. And that is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. They go off into the sunset. But hey, we have two other movies that are supposed to end the franchise. If you all enjoyed this video or any of my other content, please consider subscribing. I'll see you in the next.